This is a podcast about anything and everything to do with being an NCAA, law student, lawyer, or anything in between. I'm Sam, and I practice family law in Calgary.
I'm Kim. I practice estate litigation in Toronto. This is Legally Abroad.
Welcome, everybody. We are so excited to have here Joan Radick Lang.
Joan Radick Lang is Executive Director and Library Director of the Toronto Lawyers Association. She has a Bachelor of Arts, Master's of Library and Information Science, and has her designation as a CAE.
Joan has been networking her whole life. She is a great proponent of professional development, both as an avid participant and as an enthusiastic provider, having been on the organizing committees of several national conferences and as an occasional speaker both locally and nationally.
She has been managing the courthouse library since 2010, while rejuvenating the TLA and raising its profile in Toronto. Before coming to the TLA, she had 20 years experience managing large law firm libraries and also worked in sales, education, and executive search.
Welcome, Joan, to our first podcast.
Welcome.
Guys, it's really exciting to be here with the two of you.
We're really excited to have you. And today we're discussing the most, what could arguably be the most important thing that lawyers to be do, which is networking, and also lawyers as well. Like, I think it's something that kind of carries you throughout your whole life, and it's all about your connections.
And I think also just a hot topic for 2022 when we get back into it.
Which is happening soon.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited about actually seeing people's faces. You know, masks off and everything.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start the podcast with just generally discussing what is networking. Joan, take the floor.
Okay. Well, I think it's a pretty simple concept. It's about nurturing relationships, which means you're building relationships and you're maintaining them. And you're doing it with people that you've met through work or socially. So just like the word says, network, it's building your own network of contacts. And I think by its very nature, it's an ongoing process. It happens all the time, not just where you're when you're at work or work-related functions. It's even in your personal life. So it's probably a fundamental part of all of our lives.
The problem that I think that happens is that you come, if you're coming to Toronto, you don't know anybody, or you're pivoting careers or whatever your background is, you just don't know anybody. So it gets thrown around, oh, networking is so important. Oh, network, network. But it's kind of hard when you feel like you don't have the right contacts. And maybe you can elaborate on what TLA is, what you guys do, and how maybe, you know, you can help with events and facilitate networking.
Sure. So the TLA is the Toronto Lawyers Association, and we do a lot of professional events. We do education programs on a very regular basis. And like you guys said, things are changing. We've got a big gala on May the 10th. So it's a big social event. In person.
Finally.
That's right. In the summer, I've already booked our summer porch event. That's, I think, for the first time I ever met you, Kim. So
that's a really fun event. We had a really good time at that one. I remember that one
Sam,
so
you
well.
You fly in from Calgary.
Maybe I will.
So you've got these professional events where it's a great chance to meet people. And, you know, it's going to be awkward for all of us because people haven't had that human contact with a large group for the last 2 years. So I think it'll feel a little bit strange for people, but, you know, we just have to throw ourselves into it, get out of the house, get out of the office, and know that everyone may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable or a little strange. Even those of us who are extroverts and who love meeting people may feel just a little cautious, but I suspect that won't last very long once you get into the groove of things. So, you know, like I said, the social events are a great way to meet people. Education programs or conferences are another opportunity. I think of some of the programs we do that are on very specific topics. You know, we do a family program, we do things in criminal law, wills and estates, and I've seen a lot of really smart students come to those programs. We actually don't even charge admission for law school students and for licensing candidates, it's very reasonable. And they will come early and introduce themselves, start talking to people who are sitting in the audience. I mean, if you want to be a family lawyer, and we've got a family program coming up, what better way?
Right. The problem I had, in 2016, I didn't know anybody in Toronto, and I started going to these events alone. And it's scary.
Daunting.
Because you don't know anybody. It's daunting. Yeah. And just the thought of going, and I guess so everybody has a different approach to it. But I'm totally that person that will go to an event and I will stick to one person. Like, I will meet that one friend and that will be my friend for the evening. And some people think that, no, if you go to a networking event, you need to talk to every single person. I'm more in the camp that if you make one good connection, then you've done something good. If you've collected one card or two cards and you've actually met somebody that may know somebody else. And Joan and I were chatting about that, about whether you should be going to an event with the intention of making like speed dating, talking to every single person and collecting every single business card, or just meeting a few good people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the sense that meeting a few good people is a lot more beneficial in the long run, because how are you supposed to, as Joan mentioned, nurture these relationships if you've got, 10 to 15 business cards? You're not going to follow up with every single one of them. But, if you have a few business cards, you send some emails or some phone calls the next day or within the next few days, and you can go out for coffee or meet up at lunch or something like that, and actually start to, kind of foster relationships that are just a lot more integral than the speed dating kind of networking. That's how I think of it anyways.
I agree wholeheartedly. Let me just throw one little thing out too that I've been noticing people have been doing when I meet them lately, is they also friend me on LinkedIn. So they're building their LinkedIn networks, which is a way of networking. So I'll meet someone at an event, and the next day or 2 days later, I get an invite. So that's a great opportunity. I should be doing more of that myself. And what I think we all have to keep in mind is there is this desire to go around and, meet a lot of people because you think you're leaving with those cards. But think about what the foundation of a relationship is. You're making that personal connection with someone. And to do that well, you need to give it a little bit of time. You want to know more than their name. You want to learn a little bit about them. If you met Kim at an event, you'd want to know that she has a little baby. She's still a baby. And note of that.
And she's not a baby. She's almost a year. Can you believe
that? So she's almost a year. My God, time goes way too fast.
I know.
But then the next time, someone sees Kim, they'll say, oh, how's your daughter? She must be so grown by now.
It's so true. That gets me every time. When somebody it's the personal details. So true.
Exactly. So you're making those personal connections. And that takes a little bit of time. You can't just run around a room. But let me just throw out a helpful hint for people who are nervous about walking into a room. So think of it this way. Our awards gala starts at 6, and at 7 we do the awards reception, and then there's more networking afterwards. Now, if you arrive at 10 to 7, just before people are sitting down for the awards portion, everyone will be in little groups talking. If you arrive at 6 when the event starts, there are going to be a lot of other people standing alone, or the groups won't be as well formed. There'll also be the opportunity maybe, to get one of the hosts to introduce you to someone. So it's actually easier to be there earlier and then have the group form around you and you start building your confidence, as opposed to walking into a room that feels like everybody's already engaged. And how do you break into that? Just a bit of advice.
That's interesting. I never thought of arriving a bit early, kind of before the crowds come in. So you're kind of there. And I guess people think, oh, if they're a bit later, then they can kind of swoop in and no one would notice them. But that might not be helpful if you just don't know anybody to talk to.
It's almost like just taking charge of your networking, taking charge of the night, I guess, and how you want the networking to go. You're kind of lead the crowd, I guess. I think that's a really useful tip, actually, especially for people who aren't extroverts and who, you know, let people come to you because they have to, because there's no one else in the room to talk to.
If there's no one else in the room, yeah. But doing anything new is scary. Like going to networking events, definitely, because you feel the pressure. And I feel so pressured. Oh, I have to talk to everybody. I have to, you know, if I'm looking for a job, or at the time when I was looking for a job, I always felt so much stress. But really, anything new is scary. Like I signed up Emily when we referenced my daughter, who is almost a year old, for like music class. Just like the coordination of, oh, where am I going to park? Who's going to be there? It's stressful. I think it's just a new environment. Not necessarily it's also the additional, who am I going to talk to? I don't want to be alone in the corner. But it's just the fact that, you know, you haven't been there, you don't know what it's like. And then when you do it once, like I think as you get more, you network more and you meet more people and people see you and you see them, and then you kind of become more ingrained in your group. I think having a specific practice area is important. And I usually tell this to students who are, they, you know, in the end, you know, you just want a job, which is totally understandable. But knowing whether you want to be a litigator or a solicitor is an extremely helpful differentiation in becoming a lawyer, because solicitor work is very different than litigation work. And most practice areas will hinge on whether you want to do the litigation aspect or the solicitor aspect. So litigation is going to court, making arguments, and solicitor is dealing with more of the paperwork and transactional. And Sam, you do family law. Is there different, can you do solicitor work in family law, or is it really only litigation?
No, there'd be some solicitor work, but I mean, a lot of what we're doing is litigation, whether it's pre-litigation. So we're trying to obviously settle things out of court all the time with, you know, different agreements, contracts, separation agreements, cohabs, prenups, that sort of thing, parenting arrangements, child support. But, right, you know, a lot of times we have to go to court because people are so, family law is just such an emotive area of law that, you know, everyone is just kind of fighting with their emotions. And it's really difficult for a lot of people to separate that from kind of what they need to do and what the job is in front of them, right? So unfortunately, we do end up going to court quite a bit. But yeah, we try to stay out of court. We try to do a lot of mediation and arbitrations and stuff like that. And some there's a lot of really good alternative dispute resolution processes for family law to try to get families into.
But it's still litigation.
But it's still litigation, yeah.
Dealing with disputes. Litigation is a fancy word for disputes, or advocacy, really.
Exactly.
And John, I know the TLA does a lot of events on both practice areas, so transactional, corporate, solicitor work, and the litigation. So I do estate litigation. So I do the litigation surrounding estate disputes. But there's also a huge planning associated with estates. That is not what I do, but that's mainly drafting wills, tax planning, and all of that stuff. That would be solicitor work. So I think actually having some type of idea, even if it's just, you know, I want to be a litigator or I want to be a solicitor, is actually helpful, because it might guide you in terms of your networking and who you want to speak with. And I know the TLA does different events for different practice areas, and that might help also meeting the right person at, and I say the right person, I don't even think there is a right person. I'm going to take that back. I think it's meeting people who have a similar interest than you. And I'm a huge waver of the flag of TLA, because I've gone to like so many of your events and I just love Joan. But also I know that it is divided based on the practice areas. So I've been to events with certain estate litigation people, and I think it's really great that there's an opportunity for people who are looking for jobs or just looking to meet people to actually kind of figure out what they want to do and go to the event that suits them. But I think we need to focus also on the COVID world. So Joan, I know you guys do a lot of online events. What is your take on networking through this pandemic? Some people just aren't comfortable meeting in person. And I think it's a little awkward if you're reaching out to somebody and you don't know their comfort level to be like, hey, let's grab a coffee. So, Joan, I want to pick your brain on that.
You're right. It is harder. It has been harder to network. You know, people have had programs using Zoom, or if they've got a bigger budget, some much more sophisticated programs, Feedloop and some of the others that, you know, let you move yourself around a table.
Mm-hmm, I've done that. Yeah.
It's still not meeting people in person, but it does give you the opportunity to talk to people that you don't know. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you probably would have had to have done and maybe didn't even know you were doing it in those situations was you probably had an elevator pitch. I know when we had programs and then we broke into rooms on Zoom, people would go around and introduce themselves. So it's really handy to think about what you're going to say about yourself when you're meeting people, be it virtually or in person. Kim, I asked you about what your elevator pitch was, and it was perfect. Do you remember what you said you tell people you do when when you're meeting them?
Put me on the spot, Joan. I mean, look, I think the elevator pitch is basically like a very succinct version of what you do. So a lot of people, one, don't know what estate litigation means, and I do not blame you. It's like a mouthful. And I just say basically when somebody dies and everybody fights or someone loses capacity. And I usually get the reaction of, oh, like, that's so sad, or oh, that's too bad. And I just kind of say, no, I mean, yeah.
I think it describes what you do. And I think it's a little tongue in cheek. I know it's sad, but I mean, you know, a lot of legal work, you know, Sam does family work. We know that there's a lot of challenges in that as well. I mean, not everyone's doing those big $1 billion corporate M&As, which no one feels like anyone gets affected by. So, anyway, we were talking about how do you network when you're not in a room. So it is harder to do it online, but if an organization is really trying, they will put some money and effort behind that into making it possible to make those virtual events go smoothly and give people the opportunity they need. But I also think that there's other things that we have to think about, like LinkedIn. I mentioned it before. I think social media for networking is very viable, and maybe people don't think about it that way, but if you take the time, just like you would put going to an event in your calendar, take the time in your calendar to make sure you start working on your LinkedIn profile. You know, you introduce yourself through it because there's information about you and what you do. There's a picture of you. That's one place where it is suitable to have a good picture of you. You have a headline that describes yourself. My headline doesn't say the first thing, you know, executive director, library director. It says some other stuff about me that hopefully engages people. So
interesting. What does it say? I want to go on.
Yeah,
LinkedIn
me too.
Right,
and I want to look at your LinkedIn.
It says
going on it.
Passionate, I think it's passionate librarian. I love to walk a lot. I can't remember even what I said. I wrote it a while ago. It's true. It's just, I can't remember exactly what I said when I did one of these some session and someone said, oh, make it interesting. So you've introduced yourself.
For the record, Joan, it says passionate librarian and dedicated not-for-profit executive, engaging speaker and storyteller, joyful walker. I kind of like that, actually.
I love that. That's so great.
I really like that. Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? It's a conversation starter, right? Like, it's a conversation starter. It allows someone who's connecting with you to say, to maybe know a bit more personally about you and how to connect and how to start that conversation, which I think is great.
Mine just says estate litigation lawyer and mediator at galelaw.ca, creator of blog, lawfromillennials.com, founder of ntnetwork.com, speaker. Mine's on, no joyful walking in there. I think I landed space though.
You don't have time in your day probably to do the walking that I do. My kids are all grown up. But so the thing about LinkedIn is, okay, so you've identified yourself, but then you can reach out to other people, right? So you have met someone, even if you've met them through a room at an event that's been held on Zoom, you know, you can then connect with that person on LinkedIn. And then a week later, they may post something that's really interesting and you can comment on it, not just say, I agree, but actually write a legitimate, oh, that was really interesting. I didn't think of that point of view or whatever. And all of a sudden, you're building a network with people who you may not see often, but there are those connections. Once you get to know someone like that.
I have a few virtual friends that I've never met in person that because I wrote an article for a young woman in law about, you know, being, you know, having your own firm and having a baby. And actually I got a lot of like colleagues, people I never met, but kind of had on LinkedIn reach out to me. And a few of them I still talk to.
Mm, cool.
Like, a few moms. It's actually really nice. Interesting world that we live in. And by the way, Sam, your LinkedIn is out and needs to be updated.
Oh yeah, my LinkedIn. So I don't even read it. It's so out of date. Shame. I'll update it right after this, Joan, I swear.
Well, you know what, Sam? You've just made a big move from Toronto to Calgary.
Exactly.
So we'll cut you some slack.
I mean, I think
you've
been there for like a year.
Okay. Everyone just, I know. I will update my LinkedIn. Thank you very much. I was really hoping you were going to point that out, Kim. Thank you.
Well, it's the first podcast. And there's also another Samantha Allen, but she spells her name. There's actually a bunch. There's three.
It's a very common name. Yeah.
It's just a common name. I didn't realize that. I like your photo though.
So nice. I guess one thing I learned from a course I took recently, it was a mediation course and it was really thorough and really great. And the one thing that they say at the start of the course is be curious, ask questions. And I really think that applies to any networking situation. If you don't know, you know, how to network necessarily, just be curious. If somebody says something, ask them a question about that, you know, and you'll really find that the conversation really rolls off of that just out of your curiosity for the other person.
Can't agree more.
I know Joan agrees with that.
Well, if you're nervous or shy, and feel uncomfortable, then just be in the moment when you're meeting someone and really be attentive to what they're saying, and you kind of will forget that you're feeling a little nervous about it, and you're giving the other person your full attention. And you can engage in a really authentic conversation. So, you know, everybody wins out of that because the person who's speaking, they feel respected. They feel like, oh, this, you know, someone's really listening to me and they're asking questions about what I'm saying. They're not trying to prove themselves. Like, this is not the place to behave like, well, I know more than the person speaking. This isn't a job interview where you're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to build a really fundamental relationship. So I think that even going into an event, if you're nervous, think about what's kind of a generic question I could ask anybody. No matter, you know, where I'm meeting them at a law event, because if you're really nervous and you're sort of, oh my God, I don't know what to say, you can say to someone, what drew you to law? How long have you been practicing? You know, I guess that's if they're a lawyer, but what drew you to law? That'll go for everybody from law school right to the most senior partner. Think of a question that you feel comfortable with that, you know, you can ask two or three times that night if you have to, but it's a good starter.
I think that's so true. And I think, and it goes without saying that lawyers do like to talk. Most lawyers like to talk. And I think that, Joan, you mentioned something about authenticity, about being yourself and how it's not necessarily like a job interview or a time where you need to talk about all your experiences and sell yourself. So maybe we can touch on the difference between networking, and some people feel as though they have to put on this image of somebody that is, you know, I'm so hardworking and I'm eager and I'm keen and I'm going to get the work done and I have all this experience and this and that. But is this the right place? And what type of tone or do you kind of set when you're looking for a job and not a networking event?
Well, if you're at any one of these events, you are not looking. You cannot expect to walk away with a job or even, you know, a connection to a job. I think that if you go in with that mindset, you're not doing yourself a service. You really have to think about this as just maybe three connections forward from this event. Maybe somehow you'll hear about a job or work if you know you've established your firm and you're trying to build out your book of business. But mm-hmm. this has to be more about just making connections. Because remember, if there is a job and someone has met you at an event and they thought that person was really, really nice, and you've connected maybe, you know, on LinkedIn afterwards, and they hear about a job, they will tell you. But if you come across kind of a little arrogant, a little pompous, you know, not maybe the most likable person, no one's going to want to even tell you about the job that they heard about or introduce you to someone who may hire you, because their reputation is on the line, right? Like if mm-hmm. if someone comes across genuine and nice and all those other things that makes a person endearing to me, and then I hear about a job, I'll want to say, hey, I met this person. I won't say I'll recommend them because I don't know them well enough. But if someone is not so nice, I'm not going to want to say, well, hey, maybe you want to talk to this person who didn't really impress me. So it's something to think about, how, you know, you carry yourself, what your mindset is, your demeanor at an event. I'm not saying you stand back and, you know, you become a shrinking violet. If you got a great sense of humor, sure, let it shine. I mean, we've all got strengths. We've all got things that make us special, and we let those qualities come out. And you might meet one or two people, you know, some people you'll connect with, some people you won't. You know, if someone came up to me and started telling me how they loved rugby, I'd say, that's great. I'm happy you play rugby. But if they insisted on talking about rugby for the next 10 minutes, I'd say, mm-hmm. wow, that person's a little tone deaf, and they didn't see my eyes glaze over after about 3 minutes. So, you know, you have to be able to read the people you're engaging with.
I think that also really, when you said, you know, their reputation's on the line, I think that's a really good tip, because I know people who have had LinkedIn requests because they see that you work for a certain company or a certain firm. And so they get your LinkedIn request, they accept it. And then that person just automatically goes, hey, can you recommend me for a job? I saw, you know, I'm going to apply to this job at your firm. Can you recommend me? But they don't know you, so they're not going to recommend you because, you know, their reputation's on the line. So I think that really just goes back to the nurturing and building the relationships. Don't just expect that one quick meet or one, you know, quick connect on LinkedIn is going to get you in. You've really got to foster that. And that person has to know you before they recommend you to their company.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. We did our in-person and seen at work Christmas party before they shut everything down and then opened up and shut it down. And I met a really nice student, and she was really interested in employment law. And I said, I know one of the really senior employment lawyers for a really big firm in Toronto. But before I recommend you, I want you to write 5 articles on LinkedIn about employment law, and then reach out to me on LinkedIn and I'll introduce you. So I'm still waiting for that offer. Actually, she reached out to me and confirmed that she did get an articling position. I'm really happy for her. But I guess a part of me wants to see interest in candidates and students before I, you know, like you said, put your reputation on the line and recommend them for a position. And I really think that writing articles, having a social media presence, is just another way of showing interest. I don't think it's necessarily, I have to be on LinkedIn, I have to have 5,000 connections, I have to post every day. I think it's more just about showing, actually, yeah, I am interested in employment law, and here is, you know, a bunch of blogs that I wrote to show that I have knowledge in this area, and I'm a good writer, and I take the time. So I think it's networking. I feel it can encompass more than just meeting people. It's like we said, it's the relationship, which leads me to kind of say that networking is more than just meeting people at events, which I know Joan and I were talking about. So Joan, why don't you elaborate on that kind of nugget?
Okay, so yeah, you know, there's professional events, but there's so many other places you can meet people. You know, volunteering, Lawyers Feed the Hungry program is a cause that the Toronto Lawyers Association endorses and supports. Actually, we support with donations, and it's a really wonderful cause, and it's run by lawyers. So, you know, an interesting way. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe United Way is. But there's all sorts of volunteer work available. I think about things like alumni events. If you went to a particular school and there's an alumni event in the area, in your city or community, it's a great way to ensure that that network stays strong. There are professional reading book clubs, and you know, if you're a curler or a rugby player, there's places like, there's stuff like that. Those are all networking opportunities. When it comes to work, if say you're a sole practitioner and you haven't got an office yet, you might go into a co-working space every so often. You know, they've got boardrooms you can rent and spaces you can work at. Well, there's a lot of other sole professionals in those kinds of places. And think about, when you're networking, you're not just meeting people with like interests. That's important, you know, to go to that estates program and meet other estates lawyers. But it's also good to think about meeting other people who may know that, oh, you do family law and will direct work your way. So if you're a family law lawyer and you know someone who does criminal law, you may discover that occasionally you have a client who gets into a little trouble, needs a criminal lawyer, and the criminal lawyer may have a client whose wife says, I've had enough of this nonsense, I want to divorce you. And next thing you know, you've got a recommendation from the criminal lawyer. So, you know, that kind of network is also helpful. So you never know how people can help you. So always have that open mind about, you know, I'm at my book club or I'm in my co-working space. This person could in some way, become a friend or help my career, you know, but maybe a little bit of both, right? Because if you just think they're going to help your career, people are going to get that feeling that, you know, you're just trying to use them, because it has to be a two-way street. It has to be two people helping each other, not just one person always asking for help and never giving. So those are a couple of ways that I think that you could be networking outside of professional events.
Yeah, so it's really just kind of a matter of getting involved in your community. I mean, figuring out what your interests are, and you know, if stuff pops up, don't be shy to go, because you never know who's going to be there or, you know, what opportunities present themselves. And I think that's really smart. And I think
That's
how I did it.
Sam is new to Toronto.
Yeah.
He sends a message. We started in C Network and Sam reached out and became like extremely involved in our,
in our group. I was brand new to Toronto, didn't know anyone, and was just looking for different opportunities, and came across NCA Network and thought, hey, they need some help with their marketing. So I just literally just sent an email, and look at us now, you know. So I think that, you know, I pushed myself to do that, and I made some good friends out of it. And here we are today. You know, it's amazing what one interaction would can lead to. And it's also, you know, and also just to know that not every interaction leads to something. I think that's a good point too, is just that don't go in with that expectation, right? Like, go in with an expectation that you're just, you know, going to meet some good people, have a good time, you know, have some food, you know, have some cocktails or whatever. And, you know, if you make some good connections, great, but don't go in with that expectation, because I think you'll put too much pressure on yourself. And especially right now with this, like, social anxiety that a lot of people are experiencing, I think there'll just be too much pressure. So I think you just need to kind of relax, you know, have that question that Joan recommended, have that one question that you can ask multiple people and just kind of go from there, and don't take it really too seriously. You know, I think the social anxiety is really going to affect people the first few events here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I'd like to say that our team of volunteers for NC Network, there was a long period of time, about a year, where I hadn't met anybody. we hadn't met in person. All we had was Zoom and email. And I saw the quality of their work and their abilities, and I would vouch for them. So there is something to be said. We say, oh, like have a cocktail, enjoy. But a lot of the times we're forced to be behind our computers, and it adds that extra element with COVID of how am I going to meet people and network and show off how great I am. But there's still the ability to do that. There's still groups. Like we still did, now we're focusing more on the podcast, but we were doing these coffee chats every month where we'd get a lawyer in a certain practice area, and it was so popular and so well attended. And it was a small group, 10 people on Zoom communicating, and a lot of people met through that way. So there is the opportunity to meet virtually. I think it's a little, to be honest, I think it's a little bit more complex and a little bit more effort, because it is hard to make a good impression. You don't have the whole benefit of the night and wine and food and, you know, to be out of the house. But I also love the co-working space. I go to there's a Staples at Yonge and Eglinton that has, it kind of looks more like a library. And I have a colleague who works there. And that's my big secret. That's where I am a lot of the time. Oh, because it's closer to where I live. I'm also downtown at my office sometimes. I really like it. I like being out of my house and meeting people. I've met such really interesting people. And I just think they're all really cool. I don't meet them because I'm like, oh, you're going to get me a file or whatever. But I think it's just surrounding yourself with people that are interesting. I something about that.
But also you just never know.
Being out of your pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. But also you just never know what a connection is going to lead to, you know? So you're talking to someone who's maybe, I don't know, a project manager or something, and they don't know anyone that needs an estate litigator, but maybe they talk to someone the next day that needs an estate litigator, you know, like you just never know where the referrals come from. And I think any connection is so positive, and that space that you're working in is super cool. And I'd recommend that to anyone kind of working remotely, just getting out of the house.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is a sense of isolation. And when you're home all day, hopping on from one Zoom call to another, the last thing you want to do is network on Zoom or do another Zoom call for networking. I know students feel that way, definitely, because a lot of their courses are on Zoom. And to go to sit in front of a screen all day and then be like, oh, I also have to network and I have to, it's just, it adds to the layers of pressure. Because normally going out and networking, I think, is a nice way to blow off steam, is a nice way to kind of relax. Maybe I feel that way now, but I know how anxiety ridden it was at the beginning. Like I still remember flashback to when I didn't know anybody. And
yeah, or it's like a worst chore. It's a chore, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, got to get my networking in. And so for a lot of people in articling or, you know, in these times in their lives where they have so much going on, it's a chore. So I guess, yeah, it's hard sometimes.
You know, so for me, it's challenging always to understand the other point of view, because I'm an extrovert and I can walk up to practically anybody. I mean, when my kids were younger, they were like, do you have to talk to everybody when you're standing in the grocery store line? Or, you know, it's like, mom, just cool down. So that's me, right? But even if you are shyer or introverted, you can pace yourself with these events. You know, I read a book by Susan Cain called, Quiet, The Power of the Introvert. And that really made me aware of an introvert's mindset and how they feel. So, you know, if it's a social event that's 3 hours, you don't have to stay for 3 hours. You go for the beginning, because that's when it'll be easiest for you to make those connections. And once the party gets started, after an hour, you can leave. You'll have talked to a few people or one or two people, and you've done what you need to do, what you feel comfortable with, and then you go home. You know, we all have to do what's comfortable for us. And so you don't want it to be such a terrible experience when you've done it once, because you've just thrown yourself in so much that you're like, you just can't make yourself do it again. The other thing is, there's something called the circles of comfort, right? So your circle of comfort, and this is where I wish this was visual, may be very small. But if you push on the outside of that circle of comfort and do the same thing a few times that maybe wasn't comfortable, it starts to feel a little more comfortable. And
That's interesting. That's true.
Time progresses, you won't feel as nervous at an event. You'll just go, okay, last time, that wasn't so bad. You know, only go once a month. You don't have to go to do networking all the time. Just, you know, pace yourself. And you'll find, I think, that you'll sort of get more comfortable with it. So there are things that you can do, especially if you're shy about this or just don't know how to approach it. There's all kinds of stuff on the internet that you can do, read, that will give you some of the same information that we suggested. If you really feel like you need help, join Toastmasters or something like that, where there are a lot of people who are nervous. And now Toastmasters also does help you speak in front of a crowd. But once you master that, then a small room is no problem. And you'll be in a place with like-minded people who are also maybe trying to develop their sense of confidence around speaking. There are other organizations. It's just Toastmasters, I think, is the most famous. So there's things you can do to help yourself.
I was looking in Toastmasters. It's actually quite a commitment. Like, you have to go twice a week for like a few months. I think that extends also to networking virtually, because I think people, there's also that stress. Oh, I need to be doing it all the time. Right? But I think you can virtually network through different means. I think you can write an article one time. You can hop on a Zoom call another time. You can reach out to a few people on LinkedIn. You can set up a few Zoom coffee chats. So I think it extends to like all parts of the relationship building. Or is it kind of a little bit like selling yourself, or do you kind of not want to frame it in that way, because then it doesn't feel reciprocal? I think you kind of are selling yourself, though. I'm open to your thoughts on that.
See, I don't see it, but maybe because I don't have anything at stake. I mean, if I was earlier in my career, would I feel like I had to be on just because? You never know. Well, you're always trying to put your best foot forward when you're meeting people, right? Like you want to leave a good impression. So I guess there is a little bit of selling yourself. I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think you do in a sense, but also you kind of try to stay clear from, I don't know, I think selling yourself maybe has a negative ring to it that people don't really want to do. You know, ultimately it's kind of what you're doing in a sense that you want the person to understand who you are and what you're doing and your background and maybe something about you. But you're not selling yourself to a specific thing. I don't know. That's a tough question. I'm a bit stumped on that one. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I guess I think it has to come from a place of genuine interest, because I get a lot of students that say they're interested in volunteering. And I actually now there's a bit more of a process, because I learned pretty quickly that it's very easy to say, I'm interested. But if you don't have the time, you don't have the time. Like, if you're in the LPP program and you're also working part-time at a firm, there's no way you have time to also volunteer. You don't want to stretch yourself too thin. And I'm pretty like honest when it comes to people's time. But if they're writing, you know, one NCA exam or two, and they are looking for experience, they're not working yet at a firm, or they're only working part-time one day a week or whatever it is, they may have more time and they may be more interested. So I think being honest with yourself and how much you can take on and what time you have, I think that'll depend on the conversation. When I think of Akshata, so Akshata is going to be listening to this recording because she's our tech person for the podcast. She just knew a lot about like the NCA group. She was really in tuned with what events we were doing, what events were in the community. And we were chatting about, I said, you know, I've had this podcast on my mind for a while. It was just a matter of putting it together. And she was very like excited. We had a really good chat. So I got her on WhatsApp, and lo and behold, thank you, Akshata. We appreciate you volunteering to put together this podcast. And it's been a pleasure to work with you. So I think it is a little bit selling yourself or showing that you're into where your interests lie and being honest about your time, but it's also being genuine, if that makes sense. So Joan, if there was one tip that you like, the secret sauce that you can give away about networking and what TLA offers, what would it be to wrap things up?
Well, PLA offers you so many ways and opportunities to engage with people. And when you're engaging with people, this is really what I think is crucial, is people will not remember what you said or what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel. So this goes to everything we've been talking about, authentic, genuine, you know, building that really good foundational relationship. If, you know, look at Kim, I'm sorry, she said what short and here I'm going on, but you know, she was talking about, about students who are volunteers who say they want to volunteer and then they actually don't. So how does that make Kim feel? A little bit disappointed maybe, but if, you know, you follow through on what you said you're going to do, how does Kim feel? She feels like, hey, this person's great. So it's about how you make others feel. And they'll remember that. So that's my bottom line.
Yeah, I don't think everybody interested in volunteering also. I think they think that they want to say that because that's what I want to hear. Yeah. It could just be, oh, you know, I don't have the time now. I'll keep you in mind. Or I know this person who may be interested. And that's fine too. Or like just attend events. Or, you know, don't. Like, I think it's really just about kind of what you're able to, how you're able to engage in the conversation, not necessarily what you're offering. You don't have to be offering anything, you know, it can just be a nice conversation and keep in touch.
I just was thinking, I think it really depends on just what works for you. You know, everyone's going to be different. Yeah. Everyone's going to have different expectations of themselves and different commitments at home and different commitments at work. And I just think it works for you. And that goes with volunteering, networking, you know, getting involved in your community, you know, figure out what works. These are just kind of suggestions, you know, from just maybe some experience, but it's going to be different for everyone. And your ability to talk with people kind of outside the main people who you work with is just what you're willing to do and how much time you're willing to put into it and what you're able to do. And you don't want to stretch yourself too thin, because then you're not giving people your true kind of genuine self, right? You're not doing your best.
But you're overextending yourself, and you have to be interested too. Like Akshata and I had that conversation, and she has the tech background and that was where her interest lay. So it was kind of perfect. It would be hard for me to find somebody who had no experience whatsoever. And I was like, hey, do you want to help me with the tech side of a podcast? And they'd be like if someone told that to me, I'd be like, no, I wouldn't be able to help you. But it would be tough for somebody to feel as though they have to wear every single hat just to get a job, you know, like I like the introvert and extrovert, and I know we're wrapping up, but I wanted to say one more thing. And there's in law, there's so many different jobs and roles for any type of personality. So there's people who are like, you know, there's the grinders, the finders, the rainmakers. I don't know if Sam, you know this. Different types of lawyers.
This. Yeah, yeah. This could be a whole nother podcast.
We should do a whole podcast on that, actually.
Yeah, it's so true, right? Like there's different types of personalities out there, and you meet different types of people every day. I meet different clients every day, and you adjust what you can give them for their expectations, mm-hmm. right? And I think that works the same with networking. And Joan, I had a question for you. How do people get involved in TLA, and how do people sign up for the events coming up?
So our website is TLAonline.ca. And if you're a licensing candidate, you can join the association for free. So get onto our website. It's very clear where the membership section is. Click on join and fill it in, and you will then become a member of the TLA. We have a page called Education where all our education programs are listed. We have free programs. We have some paid programs. In the case of NCA candidates and licensing candidates, if it's not free, it's $25. So it's pretty reasonably priced. And we do try to get sponsorship for a lot of programs so we can keep our prices down as well. So it's an easy one to join, and we're local. We're in Toronto, and all our members are Toronto. That is our focus. So that's where most of the lawyers in Ontario are these days. So come and join the rest of us. And I'd love to see
Sam. I'll take a flight out. I'm not missing that porch event. That's a great one.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, if you heard about us through this podcast and come to an event, you'll probably see me there, the short little lady scooting around. Please introduce yourself. I love to meet all our new members and friends.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joan, for being here and speaking to us. Also, is the TLA library, it's a physical library in the courthouse. It's beautiful. And events pre-COVID were held either in the main room on the lower floor or in the actual library. Is the library open now?
The library is open. Jury trials have resumed, so the courthouse is getting busier, and we are on site. So if someone needs assistance with legal research, we're the place to come. We do a lot of instructional work. We don't just answer quick questions, but we help people who might need a little guidance on how to approach a problem or a question. And because the library does serve a smaller community than, say, a university library or some other library, we can spend more time with you one-on-one. And we have a great team and lots of excellent resources, Westlaw, Quick Law, and lots of other things in the library that you need to be able to practice law. So please let us know when you need some
help. I've reached out for legal research. It is extremely helpful having that. So thank you again for joining us on our first podcast. And we look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yeah, thanks,
Joan.
Thank
you very much. Thanks. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate this. And I look forward to seeing both you, Sam, I'm not sure when I'll see you in person, but Kim, I know
the summer, Joan, I swear it's going to be the summer.
Okay. August 10th.
Hold me to it. All right.
Okay. Bye guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Tell us what you want to hear. Follow us at NCA Network on social or email us info@ncanetwork.com.